And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like saving the world one sound bite at a time. Jumping on in here. By the way, the text lines are open, 833-68-RIGHT. That's 833-687-4448. And I've already got one call on the line, so let me just grab that while I can. Is that Brian? Brian from Huntsville. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing okay, and I like the Turbo Thursday and everything and what Big Rig did with it. I'm just trying to figure out how he managed to get a DeLorean to go 88 miles per hour in the studio.
It took some doing. I'll just be honest. We had to put it up on blocks and to spin those wheels.
Well, the other thing is why I live here is thanks to my mom, because she was a chemist. She's retired now, and thank God she's still alive. But Redstone Arsenal, Rocket Propulsion Laboratories, She's a chemist, and she was one of three people in a team that developed a rocket propellant for what was the surface-to-air developmental.
Wow.
Missile developmental, and which later became the Patriot missile.
Wow.
So
that's very cool.
Multiple rocket propellants. I got no idea how I fell so far from the tree, but I love the area because I got exposed to a lot of people because that was under the Army at that time. I don't know if it still is, but so I overall grew up, fell in love with the area, even though I spent a lot of time other places as well.
Nice.
So thanks to my mom. That's why I'm here.
So, Brian, did you graduate high school right here or what?
3.5 years at Lee High School in Huntsville, and then half a year at Mannheim Bison's Department of Defense High School.
Ah, well, I went to Grissom, but I also spent my first year at London Central High School in London, England. So I can relate. DOD school over there.
I remember that. Yep.
All right, brother. Thank you, man.
Have a blessed day.
Appreciate
you.
See ya.
Bye.
I got some major echo going on. You got it squared away? There you go. Gary from Decatur texts in. He says, it's not about being happy here. They live here because according to their religion, they're supposed to convert us to Islam or eliminate us. Well, good luck with that. Pretty sure that we have more guns. Harris from Athens says, there should be billboards as you enter Alabama that says, don't California our Alabama. By the way, I've met multiple California refugees who now live here in the beautiful heart of Dixie. What else we got here? David from Athens says, Phil, my wife and I grew up here in the great state of Alabama. During my 22 years in the Army, we lived in Virginia, Indiana, Washington State, not to mention Europe. In the end, there's no place like home. While Alabama may have its flaws, its advantages and greatness make it worth the return home. David in Athens, a.k.a. David at Bucky's. Appreciate you, David. And by the way, thanks for your service, man. Very cool. Very cool. Morgan from Fort Myers, Florida says, I fled Oregon 20 years ago. My boys were little because I didn't want them raised up in a culture that I saw developing out there. I chose Florida because it was close to my in-laws. I've lived here ever since, and I agree with you. Alabama is beautiful, and I hope to be there someday very soon. But like you said, we got a lot of residents moving in, and I hope that the majority of them either have similar politics to what's already here, or they left their politics in their different somewhere else. Morgan from Fort Myers, Florida. Thank you, Morgan. Appreciate you. TL from Huntsville. Very patriotic monologue, Senator. Alabama's a place to be proud of and a place worth fighting for. We were able to make good changes, but we also need to ward off changes that are not so good. Alabama's also a place worth protecting. Absolutely, TL. Last one for the break. John from Huntsville says, Phil, awesome monologue, and Big Rig has earned massive extra credit points for his spectacular Turbo Thursday sound effect. Also, he says, did you see the breaking news this morning that O.J. Simpson died of cancer at the age of 76? Yes, I did, John. I saw that. And, what a tragedy. Not the loss of him per se, so much as just the downfall of the man, because he was such a role model for many years and then just had this massive falling from grace. Self-inflicted, but yeah. All right, listen, we got a huge show laid on for you. Coming up next, Dipper number one, American Jihad. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for Good measure. All right, we're in Dipper number one. Before I do that, I got to real quickly, though, tell you about a piece of breaking news. I'm just seeing it for the very first time, like, as I'm coming back on the air. If somebody has an update on this, please let me know. But 10 minutes ago, it was posted on social media that there's a heavy police presence at Hoover High School right now, and students are telling their parents that they're on lockdown. So because of a suspicious person reported on the campus. So if anybody has any updated information on that here in the listening area, you can text it or call me 833-687-4448. But right now, prayers are up for Hoover High School and that all is well and all is clear like any minute now, we hope. But if you got an update, Hoover High School on lockdown, suspicious person on campus, that's all I know. All right, let me jump on in here. So American Jihad. So Charlene and I have been talking about this. It's to me, it's very disturbing. I mean, I can speak to it from a geopolitical sense. I can speak to it from a purely political sense. I can speak to it from a just, you know, good business sense, like, you know, what you do to allies or don't do to allies. But then I can also speak to it from a social sense and, oh, by the way, from a faith-based sense. There is a rise in anti-Semitism in the United States. And it needs to come to a freaking halt. Like, get a grip on it right now. I am beset with just, you know, angst over the fact that here on college campuses, I understand the freedom of speech. If anybody does, I do. I'm a lawyer, a politician. I'm a nearly libertarian Republican. I totally get it. This show is dedicated to the idea that we have rights and we're going to pursue them and protect them. But you're not allowed to incite violence. You're not allowed to call for the death of someone else. And what we're seeing right now on college campuses and in public squares and with protesters, even, by the way, taking over recently the cafeteria at the Senate office building in D.C., you're seeing pro-Hamas activists calling for death to the Jews, death to Israel. And I'm going to tell you right now, we do not want to be on the wrong side of history on that one. We do not. Do not let it ever be said that America stood idly by and just let these things foment in our... Now, what am I saying? Rush out there like a police state and shut down anybody who has a differing opinion? No, of course I'm not. But what I am saying is this. Parents, freaking get a hold of your kids. Police, be allowed to actually curtail people from violence. Campus administrators, get your freaking act together and put a stop to some of what's happening. Don't mollycoddle these kids. Tell them they're suspended if they're going to break the rules. If you have bylaws, you have to enforce them. And then next, no one, no citizen of this country, knowing who we are as a people and what we stand for, nobody should stand idly by and say, well, it's not my fight, man, because it is. It's not just anti-Semitism, though. We're also seeing a populist movement right now to support terrorists, actual terrorists. I mean, legitimate terrorists, the kind who commit acts of terror. I'll say this. They're a very wayward minority. They don't have massive levels of political clout. They do have some. And depending upon where you are, they have more than others. In Dearborn, Michigan right now, did you know that 54% of the population there considers themselves Arab American? Now, that is not a class distinguishing, you know, characteristic for whether or not that is a true racist area. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying right now, though, that they are seeing more discord on the streets, more anti-Semitism and anti-American sentiment than we have seen in other communities. And they need to get a grip on it real quick because the members of the Muslim faith in that area who are not radicals better realize that once again, the radicals are beginning to co-opt your religion. And then you look at things like Jewish students having to lock themselves into the library because of the protests outside the door, banging on the windows, demanding they be brought out. Shades of Sodom and Gomorrah. Give us your people. Give us your visitors. I'm telling you, this has got to stop. So the White House has condemned it. Oh, good. Have they really? Well, they say they have. Fox News, Dateline 2 days ago, Representative Rashida Tlaib who is herself one of the most awful people in Congress. Representative Rashida Tlaib and Governor Gretchen Whitmer have both remained silent after protesters in Dearborn, Michigan shouted death to America and death to Israel during their so-called international, during an international Al-Quds Day rally, which was, by the way, condemned by the White House and local leaders. So good on the mayor of Dearborn, who is himself, I believe, he may be an Arab American himself, calling it out, saying, this is not right. Stop it now. The White House said, no, we do not support this. But I'll tell you in a minute why they tacitly do support it. But there was a video about the hours-long rally that was held in front of the Henry Ford Centennial Library this past Friday. A local activist named Takek Bazi. Takek Bazi, by the way, is an absolute nutjob radical. The protesters at his calling began chanting, death to America, death to America, death to Israel, death to Israel. By the way, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. But anyway, Bazi said the chants were in the honor of the former Iranian leader Ayatollah Ruhollah Mousavi Khomeini. He says Imam Khomeini, who declared International Al-Quds Day, this is why he would say to all, pour out your chants and all of your shots upon the head of America. You reckon the FBI is going to investigate him? Because I'm pretty sure if you pray in front of an abortion clinic, you can get arrested and face like 11 years in jail. But apparently you can lead the crowd to yell death to America and call for shots upon the head of Americans, and that's okay. Fox News reached out to Representative Tlaib and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, but did not immediately hear back. Yeah, you won't either. But Dearborn Mayor Abdullah Hamoud, he publicly denounced the chants, calling them unacceptable and contrary to the heart of Dearborn. Good for him. Dr. Mahmoud Al-Hadidi, the chairman of the Michigan Muslim community, told the Fox 2 that the incident ought to be counted as hate speech. And he says it's awful somebody living on our soil to be saying these things. So, yeah, members of the Muslim community better get a grip on some of their folks, because right now the rising anti-Semitism, the rising anti-American sentiment is bringing them once again into the full view. And they're bringing, you know, they're stealing all the air out of the room when it comes to the Muslim faith. Who is this guy, though? Tarek Bazi. Who is he? Story here on the Daily Mail. They did a little background checking on the dude. He's a so-called Islamic teacher who has called for bloodshed in the war against the West. Oh, there's a war against the West? I was not aware of that. Oh, sure. He has railed against U.S. schools for corrupting values, but he was educated here, by the way. Go figure. But Tarek Bazi, who is his home city is Dearborn, he had that crowd going. He was calling for, quote, the entire American system to be wiped out. Really? Is he on a watch list yet? Well, he wants to be. In fact, on his Instagram page, he recently posted, although he's now taken it down, he recently posted that to be placed on the terror list of history's biggest terrorists is nothing but an honor. Okay, we can work with that. You're officially on the list. We'll wait and see whether the Biden FBI is really going to do it. But he's also done things like called America to be known as the Satanic Imperialist Force, calling for resistance in what he says is any way necessary. He's been teaching in private Islamic schools in Michigan, and he's calling out American school systems. He's affiliated with a group called the Hadi Institute, which is a Dearborn-based Muslim youth education organization, who said one day in his affiliations there that blood must be spilled, martyrdom must be sought, resistance is necessary in any way necessary. And that, by the way, is in the home. In the home of Henry Ford. This is, all right. Despite his bloodthirsty rhetoric, Bazi has recently complained about being harassed at customs while boarding a flight from Chicago to Lebanon. Death to America! Death to Israel! I must fly to Lebanon! Why should you question me? Why do you question me? Are you trying to profile me? Well, by God, yes we are! Because you fit every bit of the profile. We have a checklist, sir, and you checked all the boxes. So stand over here, please. We're going to do a body cavity search. This guy is just something else. He's also railed against the U.S. school system, calling it a cesspool of every spiritual and moral and ideological corruption. Okay, that guy. Does he have a First Amendment right? Apparently he does. Yes, to a degree. You're not allowed to call for violence. And last I checked, this whole idea of railing against the machine, well, you can't do that if you're a conservative. But apparently you can do that if you're a jihadist. Now, some of this, though, dates back to an article. I say it dates back a lot more than that. But there was an article that came out several months ago in February. And the same Dearborn mayor, the one who called out this guy, Bozzi, for the things he said, who said this reflects badly on us, who did not agree with his speech, got mad when a Wall Street Journal editorial was written that was called Dearborn, America's Jihad Capital. Really? Yes. Dearborn Mayor Abdullah Hamoud says it's garbage. This is purely inflammatory. It was meant to stoke fear, to stoke division, and stoke hate. As someone who grew up in the post-9/11 era, this shows me that not much has changed. This is media malpractice. Well, Mr. Mayor, last I checked, it's your city where we just had the large crowd yelling death to America being led by this guy Bozzi. He takes issue with it. But listen, we're going to take a break right now. But let me just, when we come back from this, let me just tell you, these jihadis, these people calling for death to America, the Biden administration may say tacitly, openly, well, we don't support that kind of talk. But then they do things that just do nothing but empower these people. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Okay, so I'm in this number one of the Triple Dipper. Don't forget, by the way, coming up top of the hour, we'll switch gears, start talking about stuff happening in and around and amongst us here in Alabama with a call from Stephanie Smith. So, American Jihad. First of all, the activists are out. I mean, I'm sick of hearing about it because I really do believe, and the polls show, the vast majority of Americans support Israel in what's happening right now. Keep in mind that Israel had its deadliest day as a nation since the Holocaust on October 7th of last year. And it was not just like a bomb went off and a bunch of people died. It was raping and pillaging and beheading and laughing and mocking and raiding and then burning. And then it was on and on and on. It was savage brutality. It was animalistic. And so now we're being told to, just let them, let Hamas be, let's live and let live. That's where the Biden administration is. Code Pink crazies are out in force. Code Pink confronted Senator Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri, in the hallway outside his office. And these people are so irritating. I do not mind any public official being asked hard questions. There's a lot to be said for how you ask it. And when you swarm somebody in the hallways and won't let them move, and you start waving your hands painted red in their face and screaming at him that he's a baby killer and he's somehow involved in genocide, you have just negated your ability to have a part of the public discourse, in my opinion. Move aside. But yeah, but Hawley was having none of it. Hawley was having none of it. He gave them what for right there in the hallway. And he told them, he said, you're funded by China. And they didn't know what to do at that point, because it's been determined recently, a report in the New York Times shows that Code Pink actually received donations from a group that's linked to Chinese propaganda. Yeah, it's widely believed that Code Pink, which is out there praising Hamas and asking for a ceasefire, along with, any other number of, radical students and others saying, from the river to the sea, which basically means the extermination of Israel. But then here's the thing, and this is my point. You had that guy, Tarek Bozzi, up in Dearborn, fomenting the crowd, getting them to yell in unison, death to America, death to Israel. The anti-Semitism arising, on campuses and in communities. You've got activists marching through the halls of the U.S. Senate, blocking the ability of people to go eat in the cafeteria. at the Senate buildings. You've got, you know, people blocking traffic on the roads, screaming that this needs to stop right now. Ceasefires in Israel. Listen, why should they believe anything other than they're being empowered to do so by the Biden administration? Two articles for you. First one, Dateline yesterday from townhall.com. Senior Biden official admits that funds for Iran go towards violence and not humanitarian needs. So first thing I'll say is these people feel empowered because they watch the Biden administration pay them. They watch the Biden administration pay them. U.S. senators are criticizing the Biden administration for putting Americans in harm's way after Deputy Treasury Secretary Wally Adeyemo admitted that the $6 billion that the president unfroze last year went to fund violent activities, not humanitarian needs. You think? Yeah, reminder that Republicans were warning Biden's administration last year not to unfreeze the funds for Iran in exchange for Americans being held hostage, arguing the money would go directly to the pockets of terrorists, which it did. $6 billion. Remember, okay, Phil, this is Iran. We're talking about terrorists. Yep, remember this? Tarek Bazzi standing out there in Dearborn, Michigan. Who did he invoke as the person that gave him the inspiration? Ayatollah Khomeini of Iran, who called for this Al-Quds Day that he was celebrating with the crowd. Death to Israel, death to America. Remember what the Ayatollah told us to do? Oh, by the way, the Biden administration just gave the Ayatollah $6 billion. And his own official now is saying, money is fungible, Senator. You're in a democracy, and money is fungible. The Iranian regime very likely used them for violent activity. And so you admit it now. So yeah, they pay them. How about this? They also just openly agree with them. Story on Daily Wire, Dateline yesterday. Biden demands that Israel enact a ceasefire, but yet makes no demands of Hamas to release the hostages. Remember, we have American and Israeli hostages still being held by Hamas. Oh, by the way, it's gotten so bad, though, that Hamas even said most recently they're not even sure how many hostages they have left. Have left? We show X number, and they don't show that many. They said that they maybe could find 40 or 50. What do they do with them? Kill them off? Bury them somewhere? Sell them to somebody? President Joe Biden continued his turn against Israel this week, demanding the country unilaterally agree to a ceasefire in exchange for nothing from Hamas. He made the remarks during a Univision interview. Oh, good. He went on foreign media to say, let's do this against one of our allies. As regards to Netanyahu, Biden said, well, I'll tell you, I think what he's doing is a mistake. I don't agree with his approach. So what I'm calling for is the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire, allow for the next 6 to 8 weeks total access to all food and medicine. I've spoken with everyone from the Saudis. They're all prepared to move in. They're prepared to move this food in. There's no excuse. It's a complete reversal, the article notes, from his previous demands for a conditioned ceasefire. Listen, the bottom line is this. If you're worried about a rise of anti-Semitism and jihadi sentiments here in America, keep in mind that your current president is encouraging this behavior by siding with terrorists and paying the people that pay the terrorists without any conditions. That's where we are. That's where we are. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, got a call with Stephanie Smith from API. We'll be right back.